It is once again a Monday morning, and at this time, we always have Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, join us here on the Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio. And I hope you had a great weekend, Arthur. Here we do. We start off a brand new week.
A new week, but I am still celebrating St. Patrick's Day, which was Friday. And there's a reason. I mean, it's a silly reason, but I went to the supermarket by last week I was talking about corned beef, is, you know, an Irish American tradition, not an Irish itself. Maybe the people in Ireland now have adopted St. Patrick's Day as a big holiday, but didn't used to be. Anyway, point is, I go to the supermarket and I decide I'm going to get some Guinness. I am looking ahead, and I had to go pretty much six pack by six pack across a, I don't know, 20, 30 foot long display of beer to find the Guinness, because they only had 2 4 packs left way at the back of the shelf. It's a black can, if you remember. So being at the back of the shelf in a black can, I did not see it until I had to go literally row by row. So I said, well, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day. That's why Guinness is selling out. But it was also on sale. And so I decided to buy the last 2 4 packs, which, by the way, are a Guinness packages there. I think it's 14.9 ounce can, the tall can, with a nitrogen capsule. And when you open the can, the nitrogen capsule does whatever it's supposed to do, which is basically give you an incredible head on your Guinness. So I have been to the Guinness brewery twice, actually, on the tour twice. But if you go to Dublin, it's not only a great place to take a tour, but also at the top of the 19th century building is a 20th century looking like the 21st century tap room where you can go, and where actually locals go to enjoy their Guinness right there where it's made. And the at the Guinness tap room do these incredible heads, and they'll teach you too how to like put your initials in the head of the beer. I, by the way, in poking around a little bit the other day, I found that there's a website where you can get your selfie put on top of a head of Guinness. I don't know how that works. I don't even think I've ever made a selfie, although I've been in other people's selfies. So, but yeah, so Guinness is a special place, and it's a special kind of beer. It's called stout. Another name for stout is porter, and it's very dark and, in fact, has a bitter edge to it. But not, I must say, not the, I find, overbearing bitter edge of today's IPAs, India Pale Ales. They're made with a lot of hops, or a very strong hoppy flavor, however they get it in there. And it doesn't suit my taste. Young people love it. I'm not sure what that's about. Used to say that bitter tastes were an acquired taste. But I don't know, if you're 20, you like bitter beer. So Guinness is a special product. I cook with it. So, I mean, I bought all this beer, now I have to cook with it. And in fact, I am partial to a Guinness stew, which is to say, stew made with Guinness as the liquid in the stew, or at least a primary liquid. Just like Neapolitans would put red wine in their ragu, by the way, so would Northern Italians. The Irish put, of course, beer, Guinness, dark beer in their stew. I have made Guinness stew many times, but now that I have all this Guinness, I'm going to do it again. So I'm saying this is a post St. Patrick's Day deal. Okay. If you can find the Guinness. You want the recipe, Marshall?
I don't want the recipe. You know, I've never been a big beer drinker, but I have had meals prepared in beer, which I like. So yeah, I'd love the recipe.
Well, let me say, there's another beer stew thing that I love, and that's the Belgian beef carbonade. I mean, you could say it's French, but it's actually Flemish. And it's because, of course, they're big on beer in Flanders. So it's slices of meat that are cooked with a large amount of onion and preferably, you know, amber beer, like a Belgian beer. And then, of course, stuck in the oven at a low temperature for hours until the meat is fork tender. But in a stew is, I cook it on top of the stove. But I am into, I have to say, cooking these things in the oven. And if you look online for Guinness stew, you're going to find a lot of them made in a slow cooker. I do not own a slow cooker, but I don't have any interest in a slow cooker. I used to have a slow cooker, hardly ever used it, so I finally just gave it away. But, you know, it's for people, I'm sure it's very good for people who go to work, who aren't home, and tend the pot, because you just throw everything in the pot and turn it on, and when you get home at night, it's ready to eat. So 8 hours at a low temperature. The way I do think that browning the meat first makes a big difference in the taste of the finished dish and the gravy, for sure. So there are slow cookers, I read, that have browning functions. And if you are going out to buy a slow cooker, it's interesting. The two biggest appliances of the moment are a slow cooker and a fast cooker. No, whatever happened to cooking at the right temperature? Anyway, you know, the other thing is these air fryers. Half the recipes you see on TV with Emeril Lagasse are for an air fryer, and the other half are for a slow cooker. So anyway, my oven is my slow cooker, and if I don't want to tend the stew, I put it in a 275 degree oven in a covered casserole, you know, cast iron, enamel cast iron is good, whatever you use, ceramic is very good, and you let it cover, and you let it stay in there until the meat's really tender. Probably going to take 4 hours. I do like the result, however, because the heat comes from all around the pot. As opposed to if you cook on the stove, besides that, you have to keep an eye on it. I must say, my new, it's not so new anymore, my new fancy stove does have a burner that can keep a pot of stew simmering exactly at the right perky temperature. And I don't have to put it in the oven. But there is a different result, and I like it in the oven, just like people swear by their slow cookers. So that's it. Now, the Guinness, the first time I made the Guinness stew years ago, I somewhere read somewhere, or maybe I have a few Irish friends, maybe they're the ones who told me, oh, it's not really a good Guinness stew unless you use parsnips. And thinking about it, I have parsnips, by the way, in the house. But parsnips are one of those root vegetables that sort of benefit from being stored in the crisper for a long time. They get sweeter. And because they're such a sweet vegetable, they do balance out the bitterness of Guinness, or for that matter, any bitter ale or a beer using it. So I do throw in a parsnip, which I don't know, additional or not, but somebody told me to do this and changed my mind about that. So I bought some very, very nice meat for stewing the other day. But generally speaking, I use chuck. And I want to cut into like 2-inch cubes. I don't like really small cubes. They take a little long. The large ones take a little longer to cook. But I think in the end, it's more enjoyable to eat, be able to cut into a piece of meat. So I would say 2-inch cubes, salt them very well. I don't pepper it at this point. And brown the meat on all sides, brown it well on all sides, in just really at most a couple tablespoons of vegetable oil in the deep pot you're going to end up cooking the stew in. I use my 5-quart casserole. So you brown the meat, but not all at once because you don't want to crowd the pot. You know that. And over pretty high heat. And as the meat gets browned on all sides, remove it to a side plate where it can juices can collect on the bottom of the plate. And when it's all cooked out, add 2 cups coarsely chopped onion. Now, I always buy my onions. And, well, sometimes I buy the bags if they're on sale, but usually it's the same price if you pick out your own onions. So I try to pick out what amounts to medium onions, which is 3 to a pound, let's say 6-ounce onions. And then I throw in a couple of little ones for jobs where I only want a little bit of them. So for 3 pounds of meat, I would use 2 cups of coarsely chopped onion, which will be 2 medium onions chopped. About saute that around in the fat that's left in the pan from browning the meat. By the way, the fond, the browned stuff that's stuck to the bottom of your pan, will mostly dissolve when you put the onions in. The moisture in the onions help you deglaze the pan. So put the onions in, sauté them for 4 or 5 minutes, and then you're going to add your some other vegetables, carrots, but don't cut them small, like they're flavoring. In the case of the stew, you want nice pieces to have in the stew. So I would say inch long pieces, chunks, really. They're going to cook a long, long time, so they're unquestionably going to get tender. I also put in celery, also cut, I would say 3/4 of an inch across the ribs, not tiny pieces, and put that in. I would say a generous cup and a half of celery, the same. 2 cups of carrot. I'll also throw in a couple of cloves of garlic, and saute all those things together. Now, if you're going to want a thickened gravy at the end, now's the time to put in the thickener, which is would be a couple tablespoons of all flour, maybe 3 tablespoons. And stir that into the vegetables and let that cook for 2 or 3 minutes. Then now is when you add your Guinness. You want a full 14.9-ounce can, the all can of Guinness. Now, be careful when you open the Guinness; it's really going to get foamy. So maybe you want to do it right over the pot. Put it in the pot, stir it around with all the vegetables, put the meat back in the pot. Of course, at this point, you want to pepper it. You haven't peppered the meat at all. Meat was well salted before you browned it, so be careful with salt. I always well salt before I brown, and then add, I would say, 2-3 sprigs of fresh thyme. If you don't have fresh thyme, a teaspoon of dried thyme is more than enough. A bay leaf or two. I think I mentioned last week I have Irish bay leaves picked by myself while in Ireland. So I stick a few of those in there. What else? Now, some recipe, oh, and a parsnip. And I would say, about a cup of 1/2-inch pieces of parsnip. And put that all in the pot with about, well, it depends on the pot, depends on a few things, but at least it's going to be at least 3 cups of beef broth. And you can dilute some tomato paste with the beef broth. Let's say a 3 tablespoons of tomato paste you can dilute with some beef broth in a measuring cup so that you can stir it in easily. Another possibility is to stir the tomato paste. I don't like putting it in with the vegetables when the flour there, so that's why I do it this way. And then stir all that in, and the broth should just cover the meat. I'm using boxed broth. And 1 quart of box broth is probably I'm going to use the whole box, but it could be a little less, as I said, depend. And that's it. And then bring it to a simmer, of course, stir everything. Bring it to a simmer and let it simmer very, very gently. For you, this is going to take minimum 2 hours, maybe longer, could be longer. Or put it in a 275 degree oven. It's probably going to take 3 to 4 hours if you do it in the oven. You don't have to tend the pot at all. All you need to do is peek inside once or twice, maybe taste the broth to see that you have a good flavor in your cooking liquid. Remember, this is stew. It's not it's not braised meat. You should end up with quite a lot of gravy, but it's not going to be thickened gravy unless you thicken it. So one way to do that is to make a roux, meaning in this case, I would use oil and flour, one for one. Let's say minimum 2 tablespoons of oil, 2 tablespoons of flour, and cook that together over low heat until the mixture gets at least golden. It could be even a little darker than golden, going into a brown liquid. And then take a cup of your stew liquid and pour it into the roux, stirring as you go, and then add another more, stirring as you go, and then you can pour it all back into the main pot. And that should slightly thicken your pot of stew. The other way would be to use cornstarch. I'm not averse to, I used to be, but I'm not so much anymore averse to cornstarch. And in that case, you just dissolve some cornstarch in water or in some of the liquid from the pot. You want to let it cool down a little bit. And then pour it back in. And when it comes back to the simmer, it will be not only thickened, but beautifully glossed. Corn does that. Those are the only two thickeners I use. There are other thickeners, or you don't have to have any thickener for that matter. And you get a very, very good flavored broth here. Of course, you can doctor it up at the end with a little salt and pepper. You could also doctor it up if you want. Some people put in a few dashes or quite a lot. A Worcestershire sauce. Another possibility is I know people who, and even in their Irish stew, which is the lamb stew, they use bacon. Bacon's a big deal in Ireland, but their bacon is not our streaky, fatty bacon. I'm not so much in favor of adding bacon to my Guinness stew, but I am crazy about potatoes. The only thing is, I would rather have mashed potatoes with my Guinness stew than have potatoes in my Guinness. You get a choice. You can do what you like.
You know what I do to make the gravy? Because I'm exactly like you. I like mashed potatoes. I buy those small little round potatoes.
Oh, yes.
And I put them right in the stew, okay?
Yes.
They cook all right through. And I take the parts after that's all done. I separate the liquid portion of it and the small potatoes, and I put some parsnips and carrots in that. Uh-huh. And then I cook it down and I mix it up, and it makes a beautiful, beautiful smooth gravy.
Oh yes. That is a way of saving starch. I don't know. So, as I say, I always make myself hungry. So the other thing with Guinness is there's a chalk. It's interesting. I looked this up because I've been wanting to make this for years. And I don't know. I never got around to it. But now that I have Guinness in the house, I should do it. It's a chocolate cake. Now, I first heard about it or read about it from Nigella Lawson. You know Nigella Lawson, right?
Yes. They,
she's a beautiful woman who cooks on TV, English woman. Controversial woman, got to say. But anyway, it's a Guinness-based chocolate cake. So I go to look this up this morning, and it ends up, here's another case. There are no copyrights on recipes. Actually, there are. What you can copyright is the language of the directions, not the recipe list of ingredients. But it ends up always thought would think of as an Idella Lawson recipe. Who knows where she got it? Could be from the Guinness people, even. Is all over the internet without any credit to Nigella Lawson. So I shouldn't feel bad when I see my own recipes uncredited to me, strewn around the internet. Yeah. Anyway, that's it. I look forward to this to bake it with. It's a cocoa-based cake. So, and I actually have an excess of cocoa. I'm one of these people, only with cocoa do I do this. Somehow think, oh, I don't have any cocoa in the house. I should buy some. And then I get home and I find out I have 3 boxes of cocoa. You know, when we had to take apart my sister's house because she was moving, I discovered she did the same thing with chocolate chips. There were, I don't know how many bags of chocolate chips in her cupboard that we had to. Oh, chocolate chips and chocolate sprinkles. That was the other thing my sister hoarded. Because every time she went to make something, whatever she did with chocolate sprinkles, she must have thought, oh, I don't have any in the house. She did. Well, the Guinness is coming hard to, it's hard to come by in these nitrogen capsule cans. And it's definitely the way I prefer my Guinness. There are bottles of Guinness that don't have that. And I'm wary of Guinness from the tap. At bars or clubs, whatever we're calling them these days. Now, I do have a wonderful, wonderful bar with wonderful bar food in my neighborhood, but I don't go there that often. I'd rather have my beer at home. So they do keep their taps clean. They do make a great head. You got to sit with the beer, as you do even at the brewery in Dublin. You have to sit with the beer for a few minutes before you can drink it, as the cloud goes from the bottom of the glass up to the top and makes this beautiful, which is part of the enjoyment of a Guinness, I think. Very effervescent beverage, and not all beers are these days. Sometimes I get a flat beer only to find out that that's the way it's supposed to be. I don't know.
Well, you know, a lot of bars don't clean their taps and do the right thing. I knew a guy that was sent by a bar that was opening up and it was in New York City, and they sent the chief bartender and two of the people that worked the bar over to Guinness, and they had a tour of the factory and everything, and then they had a serious 3-day course on what temperature you have to keep it at. How you have to keep the tap lines clear, how you pour it. It was a real interesting thing.
Well, I went to that. And in fact, keeping the tap lines clean, he told us, was one of the chief reasons, because people don't keep the tap lines clean, was one of the chief reasons that Guinness doesn't taste the same abroad as it does where they know how to handle it. But this bar, it's called Double Windsor. It's in the neighborhood called Windsor Terrace, and they actually have a real chef making really delicious bar food, interesting bar food, and great beer on tap. Actually, it's just an all-around terrific bar. My only complaint is some days I don't like the music they're playing, but they're accommodating, so if they ask them to turn it down, they will. Anyway, there's nothing like a Guinness, except I'm not a fan because I can't find it ever. Murphy's, that's the other stout or porter from Ireland. It's not very popular in New York anyway. Do you ever get a Murphy's?
No, when I was growing up, all I drank was Budweiser, and I stopped drinking that because I just didn't like the taste of beer by itself.
Well, I was never a beer drinker when I was young. Only I would say in the last 15 years now, maybe even 20 years that I've been drinking beer. And of course it's there's this big boom in craft beer. And so you can get these really wonderful beverages made locally. And I must say, I'm very chauvinistic. My first household beer, house beer was Brooklyn Lager. I still love my Brooklyn Lager. You can get Brooklyn Lager all over the country now. But you know, it was originally made right here in Brooklyn. I think they make it other places as well now. Utica, actually, the original Brooklyn Lager was made in Utica, New York, at the famous brewery in Utica. But that Utica brewery made other labeled beers. Anyway, we have a ton of breweries now in Brooklyn. Even, you know, I could walk to a brewery. There's so many. And some of them are special, I gotta say. Anyway, so I have not made a Guinness type stew using a light beer or a blonde beer or whatever we want to call those, but I have made it mainly to use it up with the Dos Equis, the dark Mexican beer, and that was good. That actually had a more bitter edge than the Guinness did. And in the end, I threw in a tablespoon of brown sugar. This is all coming back to me. Talk of it. I had to throw in a tablespoon of brown sugar to balance out the bitter. By the way, when you make carbonade, also, many recipes will tell you to put a little sugar in because the beer could be very bitter. But I like bitter, so it doesn't bother me. I'm one of those people who craves bitter.
All right. Well, all I can say is you've given us something to think about on the Monday after.
Yes, it's Patrick's Day. Post St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. If you can find the Guinness, maybe somebody will make the chocolate cake and tell me how it was.
Right. All right, Arthur, have a great week.
You too. Ciao.
Ciao.